there. Welcome back to the Jasmine Star Show. My guest today, y'all, I just can't even deal with it. I have always had these big goals and aspirations to make sure that the podcast feels like a conversation where we're all just sitting at a table and we're having these great, amazing conversations about life and business and the intersection of them. And then at the end of it, having a clear, actionable plan of stuff to do. Now, that has always been the benchmark that I hold myself to. And I really invite people into the podcast who I know personally. And I want to make sure that your time, the thing I value the most, is so well spent here. So you could just imagine my excitement when Ken Coleman agreed to be on the podcast. I have to tell you, friends, I DM people. You know, like what I ask y'all to do, I'm doing myself. So I'd been watching and creeping on Ken for a very long time, and I'm following him on social, and I feel like he's my friend, and we share mutual friends. And so when this number one national bestselling author of The Proximity Principle, he also is a Ramsey personality, he's the host of a nationally syndicated radio program called The Ken Coleman Show. I mean, y'all, the thing about Ken is that he has so much experience talking to people and getting people to take action despite not having an answer or an end result. Because his show is a caller-driven show where Ken helps people discover what they were born to do and then provides practical steps to make their dream job a reality. Yo, you're about to hear his incredible advice today. In this interview, we discuss how to find your purpose. Ken's unexpected advice for multi-passionate entrepreneurs that just can't pick one thing and stick with it. Now, this is going to be a 7-stage path to meaningful work. Friends, I know that I personally learned so much about connecting your purpose with your paycheck, so I can't wait to share it with you. Enjoy my conversation with Ken Coleman. Friends, I am so excited to have this conversation with somebody who I know, without a doubt, is going to blow your dang mind, very similarly to the way that he has for me. So if you, at any given point in your time, in your career, in your life, or where you are currently at this moment, have ever wondered, you know, I really want to do this, or I'm multi-passionate, or I got a lot on my plate, but I want to stop you at the end of those ellipses, those three dots, and I'm going to start the conversation with a quote. You were put on this earth with a specific role that only you can fill. You just have to figure out what it is and be intentional about pursuing it. Friends, I'm so excited to introduce you to Ken Coleman. That was his quote, lifted straight from his Instagram account, and he's going to walk us through how to find your purpose, how to nail down the thing that you want to do, and how do you answer those questions about being multi-passionate. Thank you, Ken, for being here today.
Jasmine, thanks for having me. I'm excited about it.
As are we. So, like most of our conversations, I like to sit here and pretend we're at a coffee shop. So you can just make sure that you stay hydrated with whatever what's in your cup, because we're about to spill the tea. So you should probably have two cups with you, because one for the spilling and one to get in. So I like to dive right in. And I think that based on that quote that I had just shared, like you're put on this earth to do something specific that only you can do. You just have to figure out what it is and be intentional about pursuing it. What are the top three questions that an entrepreneur can ask to discover their purpose? We're starting with a really easy, light question, you know?
Well, well, it's actually really simple, but it feels very intimidating. You know, this idea of what am I supposed to do? And so before I give you the three indicators, there's three indicating questions. I want to set some people free, Jasmine, and you know this. There is not just one idea. There's not just one company that you're supposed to start. And I think when people get locked up into this, I don't know what it is. They actually do, but they're afraid to decide and move forward on it because they feel like, well, what if it's the wrong decision? And I think it's a lot like love. I think you choose to love. And, you know, I chose to love Stacy 22 years ago. So now there's no going back on that choice. That's the choice. And so we choose to start a business. Now, we could start other businesses, right? And so that is a little bit different. But I want people to understand to not be so hung up on the right answer, but the right questions. And the right questions will give you multiple answers. And then I'll explain what to do with that. So here they
are. Oh, this is good. This is good. I mean, you're just getting started. If you're listening, get out a pen, get out paper, bring out your iPad. Ken's going to drop it.
All right, so here are the three questions, and then I'll tell you what to do with the answers. The questions are, what do I do best? That's number one. That's your talent. So everybody is created with talent. So think of this as a raw lump of clay. And as the potter takes the clay and puts his hands or her hands on it and the water, then he or she shapes it. And so that's what we do with talent. So talent is what we do best. And I look at talent in two ways. Secular society would look at it as hard skills and soft skills. So I say abilities and qualities. So what are the hard skills, things that I can take in the marketplace as a tool and perform work? Soft skills, of course, are personality traits and character traits. Mm-hmm. All right. So these are all talents, something that I can perform work with. That leads to the second question. What do you love to do most? And we're talking about work here. So think of a task, think of a function, a role that you play in the marketplace. And so when you think about this work, two things happen: high emotion, high devotion. In other words, when you think about the work, you get jazzed. So I know you, I know you're a great photographer, you're a creative type. So creative work for you, Jazz, when you think about it, you're not even doing it. You're thinking about it. You're getting the juice. Then when you're actually performing this creative work, for me, it's communicating and essentially performing on a mic, whether it be a national radio show or a television interview or a speech. When I'm in the middle of that, I'm alive. Like everything just stops and time can disappear. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about emotion and devotion. I'm spending tremendous emotion on it and tremendous time. I love just the work itself. The third indicating question then is, what results matter most? This is mission. So talent, passion, mission. Talent, what you do best. Passion, what you love to do most. Mission, results that matter most. Three questions that'll clarify mission. Who are the people you most want to help? The one thing that all human beings share, I don't care what your race is, what your nationality is, or what your religion is, we all share one thing in common. We want to help people. We want to make a difference in people's lives. So who are the people that move your heart? Now, those people have a need or a want. So what is the need or want that the people you think about when you ask, who do I want to help? What is the need? What is the want? And then what are the solutions or the solution to their need and their want that you get fired up about delivering? Now, when you walk through those three indicating questions, you're going to get really clear answers. And then you put it all together. Use what you do best to perform work that you love to do to produce a result that matters deeply to your heart. Where those three things intersect, that's the sweet spot. That's where your unique role starts to come alive. And now we're beyond success, Jasmine. We're insignificance and we're doing work that matters. So once you get the answers to those questions, you're looking in the marketplace for all the matches. So for the entrepreneur, I promise to tie it all back. For the entrepreneur, when you're answering that question, who do I most want to help? That's your customer. What's the problem that they have? Well, that's their felt need. That's where your product or service has to come in. That's the solution. And so when you begin to identify multiple groups of people that have a problem and you get excited about the solution, there's your business idea. And then it just comes down to, if you got three ideas, weigh them. And whichever one wins in the heart is the one I would go after.
I love this because even though I've always known that what I'm doing is fulfilling, I feel like I understand why I am being fulfilled in an entirely new way. So on the heels of what you had just said, is like, that's when you determine what you can pick. I hear a lot of people say, Jasmine, I'm multi-passionate. How do I just choose one thing and stick to it?
Yeah. Well, this is where, again, so at the end of that answer, we're going to look at head and heart, right? So let's say we've got option A, B, and C. Here's what I know. Almost every time when a caller calls on the show and they'll say, Ken, I've got two or three ideas, I always ask them to list them out. Give them to me. And they list them out. And almost every time, the first one they give me is the one that when I ask them to choose, if you could only...
No.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. So it's psychology. So psychology supports that. It's what we focus on. So if you've got three ideas, and let's say you rank them and you said, okay, well, this one is a 7, and this one's an 8, and this one's a 9. Usually, if that's what you feel, the first one you list in a list is going to be the one, because it's the one that comes out first. You've been focused on it the most. But again, let's retreat to clarity, those three indicators. Let's say that you've got three ideas. One is photography, one is event planning, and one is crafts. I don't know. I mean, these are terrible ideas, folks, but you get the point. You get these three things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at, where am I most talented? Am I most talented with an eye for photography, or am I most talented with my hands in creating things? Right. Then we're going to look at, well, what do I enjoy most? Let's go engage in all three. You don't have to start a business, folks, to then find out it's not the right thing. Let's say you got three ideas. Well, then go volunteer and start taking photos at a school event or a church event or whatever. And did you love taking photos? Did you come alive? Did you find yourself really enjoying it? You didn't want to stop, and you love the editing, and you love the lighting aspect. So by participating and experimenting in all three ideas, here's what's going to happen. Your head and heart will align. And so that's how you do it. So you got to go try it. We're going to go back to clarity. Do I have the talent to do it? Am I more talented in one or the other? Do I enjoy one of these more than the other? And then if I look at the result, which of the results make me happiest? Do I want to make something with my hands that somebody buys and they go, oh, it's so cute and pretty, I really love this? Or do we like, oh my gosh, you took these photos and you just created a memory for our family that to our dying day, we will be able to re-experience many times because of that photo you took. So when you experiment and you experience the result of the work, confirmation happens. It's called clarifying and verifying.
Okay, so this is making the decision to choose to pursue something. Yeah. Would you say that when it comes to experimentation, would you encourage people to experiment with multiple things before they make the decision? Because at one point people are like confused. Am I being multi-passionate or am I being strategic? What do you just say? Deal it to straight.
Well, A, you are multi-passionate, but again, we're going to decide which is the best foot forward. You know, so the idea of clarifying and verifying, like I said, those three ideas, yeah, go try all three before you launch a business in any of them. Right. Mm. So what's going to happen is you're going to go, oh, I thought I liked crafts, but I come alive when I've got a camera up to my eye. I'm telling you, here's the deal. Yep. The heart, Jasmine, by experimenting, the heart will then align with the brain, because our brain may go, well, I don't think I can make much money in photography. And so you might kill the very thing that your heart wants to do because your brain's too involved. So by getting out and experimenting, to your question, the heart goes, and the heart goes, I want this, I want this, I want this. And the brain goes, oh, I guess you really want this. So we got to figure out a way to make this work. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. By getting out and experimenting, you're clarifying everything that's involved in it. What does it take to be successful? By the way, this is why I wrote the proximity principle. I know that you are very, very talented. So if I'm somebody that wants to do what Jasmine does, I want to study everything that she's doing. And if I have a chance to have coffee with her, I'm going to ask her, what all's involved in your day? Give me the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want Jasmine to tell me everything. Because I'm listening and I'm going, okay, I like that good. Well, her bad, it's not that bad. The ugly, I can handle it, right? Or, oh my gosh, really? That's involved? I would never want to do that. And so that's the process of clarifying. And then your heart will verify if it is in fact something you want to get after.
Okay, Ken, I have to say, is that, you know, it's human nature to like somebody who thinks and sees and talks about the world the way that you do. So clearly, I'm like, this Ken, boy, is he just brilliant. I have to tell you that sitting in California on a drive up from San Diego back home to Newport Beach, I was coming back from a photography shoot. And this was towards the career that I had kind of ascended to where I wanted to go. And I'm like, this is the glass ceiling. What do I do? And my husband asked me the question that unknowingly and knowingly he was trying to get my heart and brain aligned. And he said, if you could do something and be so happy right now, what would it look like? And I said, well, I would be combining my love for writing and photography and teaching people and making videos. And it's like this amalgamation of a thing that I didn't know existed. And then he said, try making that. And lo and behold, you know, we sit here 2.5 years later and I'm like, my heart and head are aligned. And even though my heart, you know, was being told by my brain that that's not being done, it doesn't exist in the marketplace, I think my heart wanted it so bad that it convinced my brain. So thank you for co-signing that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened. See, here's the deal. Let's look back at that. Just because you started in photography and you're very successful doesn't mean that your creativity is limited to that one expression, that one medium, that one platform.
Amen.
You're the same person that you were now that you've expanded into writing and speaking and podcasting, all the things. It's just that you're creating in different formats. The eye of the photographer can also be the voice of the writer. So I there's something to this. And I got to tell you, if we said nothing else, I'm telling you folks, the clarify and verify is the secret.
Yes.
To overcoming our fear and doubt and pride with stepping forward. See, it's the unknown, Jasmine, that is the greatest fear that a human has. I could tell you some risk right now. I could say, hey, Jasmine, Stacy and I, we're coming out to California, and we want you and your hubs to join us, and we're going to go on this like skydiving thing or something like that. You know what I mean? Or whatever, some adventure sport. And you'd be like, okay, well, what's the story with that? And I might say, well, there's a couple of risks associated with that. And then at the point you and your hubs would talk, and we go, do we want to do this? There's like mild risk, but it's nothing crazy, right? But if I told you, hey, we're going to do this and nobody's ever done it before, and you go, well, it's a little scary. And I go, yeah, but let's just do it anyway. There's a difference between us as humans processing the complete unknown versus some risk associated with the known. And so this is my point. When we don't clarify and verify and we stay up in our head, well, I got three or four things, Ken, what do I do? By getting in proximity to somebody and having coffee with somebody who's successful in the field you think you want to go into, again, you're finding out two things. What all is involved in a day-to-day? What does it look like to do this work? And then number two, how'd they get there? What was their path? You walk away with that. And by the way, that's over coffee or lunch, you can do a Cliff Notes version of a college research paper. That's all you're doing. And now all of a sudden, your brain's got all of the answers it didn't have. And so now the brain is not so scared. The brain's not trying to protect you anymore. Now the brain is just now a processor. And now your heart's going, oh my gosh, I love that. Or yuck. So let's just not overcomplicate this.
And you know what? Can I even make it simpler? Can I marry your brilliance with daily practicum? And what social media provides for so many people is having that digital cup of coffee. Is that if you want to pursue becoming a clown in the circus, follow other clowns as part of a circus and watch their stories, because it's the amalgam. You will never get a full scope of a picture by following somebody's highlight reel. But when you follow multiple people in the discipline and industry in which you want, you're putting together a puzzle. And if you are excited to finish the puzzle, you're in the right track. But you can actually get some behind the scenes of an industry leader and you're like, I don't like that travel schedule. I don't like that work schedule. I don't want to build a team. A whole litany of things. So what you said is actually easier than getting a cup of coffee if you don't have access to the person you want to get coffee or lunch with.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
But one other thing.
Yes.
Don't feel like you got to start the business.
Yes. Yes.
Like I remember interviewing Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, years ago, and he talked about the power of feedback. And this idea, before he ever came up with the idea of Square and Twitter, he was trying to come up with an app for delivery system in the San Francisco area. And he was mapping out like all of the grids in San Francisco and all the streets. And he had this idea. And he said, I tested it. Then I got feedback. And then I took that feedback and I tested it again. Then I got more feedback. And then I tested it again. So you can do all that, entrepreneur, wannabe. It's okay to be a wannabe. In fact, We all start as wannabes. I just think there's value in testing and trying without officially launching a business. But here's what happens as a human. When we say we're launching a business, then all of a sudden we feel this pressure, this peer pressure and pressure that we really create ourselves. Nobody else really cares. They got their own life. And we feel like, oh, we got to prove this thing and we got to make money right away. And it's like, no, you don't. Why don't you just try it and then test it and then get feedback and then rinse and repeat. I just wanted to say that real quick because there's too much self-induced pressure to be good right out of the gate. I'm going to tell you something. My first radio broadcast was abysmal. I wouldn't want you to hear it. I'm serious. I really wouldn't want you to hear it. In the grand scheme of things, it probably wasn't bad. But for me and my standards now, it was awful. The first time I gave a talk, I wouldn't want anybody to hear that talk. The first time I wrote an article, I wouldn't want anybody to read that because it was dreadful. But again, that's part of the journey. So why do we feel like we got to have a working business right out of the gate?
I think you need to say it again for the people in the back. Like I could not like, yes, just yes, yes. And all of that. So without putting the pressure for us to monetize our dream, our hustle, our passion, there was something, however, that if you got past that testing point, I thought it was very fascinating. You have a resource called The Path to Your Dream Job. It's on your website, it's a resource on your website, and it's a 7-stage path to meaningful work. Can you walk me through how somebody can find their dream job?
Yeah.
And does this happen after the testing in conjunction with?
It's all a function of the stages. So we came up with the 7 stages based on my journey from leaving politics and getting into broadcasting, having no degree and no experience at all. And how did I get there? And we talked about the key indicators at the start of our conversation in Get Clear. So stage one is Get Clear. This is about self-awareness. I got to know who I am, my talent, my passion, and my mission. We already walked through that. So once I get there, I'm really clear about what I can offer and I know what my sweet spot is. Then I'm looking at the marketplace and I'm seeing all the different ways that I can then make my contribution and play my role that I was created to fill. At that point, when you begin to see all the marketplace matches, you're ready for stage two. Stage two is get qualified. So this is pretty simple. We get this, right? What do I need to learn and do? That's education and experience to get the ticket to the dance. How much is it going to cost me? There's a financial cost to this stuff. And then based on my financial realities, my budget, my wherewithal, how long is that going to take me? This is a game changer. Remember, we were talking about fear a moment ago, this idea of the fear of the unknown. And get qualified, you're learning what it's going to actually take. And you go, okay, it's going to take me 3 years and $20,000. Now, we can process that. Now we can begin to build a plan. As we're getting qualified, Jasmine, we can also be in stage three. Stage two and three, we can walk consecutively. And stage three is getting connected. And this is the idea around the proximity principle, which says in order to do what I want to do, you fill in the blank, I've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. Okay. So it's about the right people plus the right places equals opportunity. If I only put myself around the right people, and you know this, you've lived this, and I only put myself in the right places, opportunity knocks on my door. I'm not just trying to kick doors down. That's highly overrated. We've romanticized this idea of jumping off cliffs and kicking down doors. That's only in movies. It just doesn't happen very often. And so you're getting connected. And so this is the web of connections. It's a sociology term. And so you are leveraging all of your relationships, family, friends, and then acquaintances. Interestingly enough, by the way, folks, we know from sociology research that most jobs and opportunities come through our acquaintances, not our close personal network. It's fascinating information. Stage four is get started. So I'm qualified and I'm connected. So I've got opportunities. Now I got to go, hey, it's time to get out of the starting gate. Go. Let's get after it. And then you will eventually move into get promoted, which is stage five. And this is the idea of I'm working my way up the ladder. I'm climbing up the rungs. I'm doing what it takes. And I'm getting opportunities because I am winning in the now. And then finally, you're going to get the dream job. Eventually, you'll step into that stage six, into the dream job. And then stage seven is kind of the self-actualization. You're in it six and seven at the same time in the sense that I've got the dream job, but I'm not done. I mean, I'm truly in my dream. I'm so blessed, you know, to have a national program and do all the things that I get to do, write and speak. And it's so fun to talk to callers every day and just meet them where they are and just be able to do that on the airwaves. Is kind of like, it's just like playing house. It's just crazy fun. But I'm not done. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still dreaming. And so I'm moving into stage seven while I'm in stage six, and that is giving yourself away. So you'll notice it's get, and then give. So I'm getting clear so I can get qualified. I'm getting connected so that I can get started. I'm getting promoted so I can get the dream job. Why? To give myself away. I am completely, when I show up in the workplace, I am contributing what I was created to contribute. It's not about selfish ambition. It's about selfless ambition to give yourself away. So those are the seven stages.
So if you would like to dig deeper into that, you can find more information on kencoleman.com. That was an unsolicited plug, but that was just so good. That was seven steps. Now, when you talk about your dream job, there's a lot of people who are listening and they have a 9-to-5. And at this point, they probably have identified, they've gone through the three steps. They know this is the thing they want to do. At what point do you say you're ready to move on? And do you leave the safe security paycheck and to go and do your own thing? What are your insights on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. And I think, again, we've got to listen to our heart. So as we continue to evolve and grow in our career, and I'll use you as an example, if that's okay, because there you are driving in the car and you want, you've been longing to do more for a while. You want to get, you know, do more. And so that's actually natural. That's actually really, really good. And so you didn't have to necessarily leave photography. You could have. But the idea is you're beginning to expand and there's a moment where your heart just begins to speak to you. And so you got to be able to know how to listen to it. And so again, we're going to retreat to clarity. So almost all my answers in uncertainty, Jasmine, in fact, every time somebody asks me a question, what do we do in uncertainty? What do? We retreat to clarity. So it's back to get clear. What do I do best? What do I love to do most? What results matter most to me? Talent, passion, mission. That's our sweet spot. It moves with us. Now, we can evolve and grow in our sweet spot, but we're always going to need to stay in that primary role that we were created to fill. And so in that situation, you're beginning to feel something. You're wondering about this. It always starts with a wonder, right? The childlike wonder, what could be? And then you get to what should be. And then this is my favorite one, what must be. Then it's like, this has to happen. So that's the heart going, hey, brain, we have got to do more. We should be doing more. When you start to feel that and you're going, wait a second, I'm in a 9-to-5 and I'm over here and I got some financial realities and what's that going to look like? Again, we're not talking about jumping off of a cliff. And just hope it turns out. No, what we're doing is we're going, okay, what are all the different ways that I can fill this role, this heart longing? And then what is it going to take to get there? So I'm going to come up with a plan and I'm going to continue to repeat those stages, and it keeps me moving forward every time. So really, I think it's the heart. When the heart's telling you, you need to move on, go through that process, because it is possible at times, I do want to bring this up. It is possible at times that external forces, Jasmine, can affect our brain, and what we think is our heart is our brain. And so again, that's why I always get back to the get clear thing, because we want to keep our head and heart in alignment. So an example would be this. I get this call all the time on the Ken Coleman Show. Teachers call in. It breaks my heart. Ken, I got into teaching. I love teaching. I love teaching students. I love the classroom. And I've been in it for 6-7 years, whatever it is. And now I just have lost all my passion. I'm burned out. And my first thing is, well, you're not burned out because you're alive. So the moment we all die and go into eternity, the flame is extinguished. Then you're burned out. Until then, what's going on is you got buildup on the heart. And so I'll walk them through a series of questions and I'll say, why do you feel burned out? What's causing this? Because burnout's just a symptom. It's real. The feeling's real. I mean, I don't want anybody to freak out. I didn't say that what you're feeling isn't real. What I'm saying is it's bad terminology. You're not burned out. Your flame has been covered up by all kinds of junk, like buildup on the, in an artery or on our teeth. And so I'll figure out by asking them questions, what's causing them to feel that? And what we find out is it's always a combination of discipline in the classroom that they're unable to deal with and they can't handle. So it takes away from the teaching, paperwork, the extreme pressure on testing for these kids. So again, I'm not making a political statement, folks. Don't anybody get mad. I won't read your email anyway. But there's all these things, and these teachers are like, it's taking away from what I love to do, which is just instruct children. And so I'll say to them, well, what if I removed all of that? Would you be calling me? And there's silence. And they're like, no. I said, so then you still love instructing. You're an instructor at your heart. You love turning on light bulbs for people. And they're like, yeah. I can't tell you how many of these women have gotten, emotional, because in that moment they realize they thought they were burned out and they thought they were ready to switch gears into a different career. And in all reality, no, they were doing the right thing in the wrong place. And so in those moments we go, hey, it's not so much that I need to change careers, I just need to change locations. And so that I'm actually focused, because here's the reality, Jasmine, you know this. One of the big reasons why people are miserable in their work has nothing to do with the job itself. They may be in their sweet spot, but they're in an environment of toxic leadership or toxic teammates. So who wants to go to work every day and deal with difficult people? It's just disgusting. And just it'll sap your strength. So long-winded answer on that, but you gotta, again, it's always getting back to clarity. Why am I feeling this way? Whether it be negative or positive.
Mm. One of the things that I got a visual for was like calcification of the heart. And what you wrote on Instagram was, you said, the truth hurts, but it can drive you to do better. Yep. And I think that right now, like, you're just dropping so much truth that people can first identify that they probably aren't burned out. It's the calcification of the thing, and the thing that they initially desired. So I think that people are going to be walking away learning so much. But as we get to this point in the conversation, we're going to be tying it up. But what are the biggest mistakes that you see people make when it comes to deciding a career path that they choose, especially when it comes to like entrepreneurs starting a business? What are the mistakes that you've seen through your vast amount of experience, you talking to people every day, like save us heartache and time?
Yeah. Well, the biggest one is doing something because somebody else did it. So it's not the thing you wanted to do. It's that you admire somebody else, or you look up to somebody else, or you bumped into somebody, whether it be online or in person, and you heard their story and you're like, ooh, I want that. and you didn't check yourself. You didn't run through the clarity process. So there's this thing called imposter syndrome right now. It's just a fancy way of saying doubt. But I actually think imposter syndrome is not about doubt. I think it's we try to be somebody else. And that's never going to work. You know, being a fake version of somebody else is not a good thing. So I think that's a big one. I think the other thing is taking someone else's recommendation. And, you know, you're talking to people and they say, well, you should try this and you should try this. Mm. Again, it's a person in your life that has a lot of influence over you. So you don't check yourself again because you're, well, they know me and they love me and they made a suggestion. Yeah. So I'm going to try this. And so it really comes down to one major thing. It's not authentically connected to what moves you. Now, again, you know, listen, do I think that you need to cry every day over the idea of your business? No. But I do think that your why should move you, you know, and I've said before, if your why doesn't make you cry, I would really reexamine it. But the idea is that you should be so caught up in the gratitude for the work you get to do and for the result that you get to create that it can move you to tears. Or else it's just kind of, it's just a business. And I think the long-term sustainability, there's got to be a connection to the heart. So the big mistake is the head idea. And it's not connected to the heart. I think that's what it boils down to.
I love it. And I couldn't agree more. And I couldn't have said it better. Speaking of saying it better, I just think that you have a way with words. And you had scribbled something on a piece of paper. Well, maybe it's your best penmanship. And I look at it, I'm like, this is some scribbling. But you wrote, what are you willing to give up so that you can move up?
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of a better way to close this conversation. And with that question, if people are listening, and there's one person who says, I'm willing to move forward. I'm willing to check my heart. I'm willing to calibrate my brain. The question then becomes, what are you willing to give up? And for somebody who looks around and says, I'm trying to figure out what to give up, where do you guide them? How do you get them to take that first step? Like, I have to give up something to move up.
Yeah, there's an easy way to figure this out. It's examining the lie that I think is the biggest lie we tell ourselves. And we lie so much to ourselves on this one lie that it becomes truth. And it's, I would be where I wanted to be if I just had more time. If I just had more time, I would be there. And so I think you start there and you start to say, okay, what needs to be true for me to have enough time, right? Let's go ahead and play with the lie a little bit. Let's ease into this and let's go, okay, what would need to be true for me to have more time? What? And so there you're going to begin the subtraction process. You're going to go, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to have to give this up. Okay. And by the way, it might be a season where you spend less time with your family. I'm not, again, I am all about family. Anybody that knows me will tell you that. I got three kids. I've been married 22 years. I don't like to travel because I don't like to be away from them. But there were seasons where I did have to travel. And it was about a three-year period where I traveled a lot and it hurt my heart. But I also knew in that time that I was going to have to give up some quality time for a season to be able to build the platform to where now I get to show up in a really glitzy studio every day and touch a lot of people and then go home at 5 o'clock. But I didn't just get to do that. I had to give up some things to go up. That's the idea. So what are some sacrifices you need to make? Because you're always going to have to subtract something in order to add something. It's just that simple. So that's what I mean when I write that, and what I share is that folks, to think that you're going to get where you dream of being without having to sacrifice is Pollyanna. And I'm telling you, it is setting you up for massive frustration and disappointment, as opposed to going, I'm constantly looking for, if I'm going to grow and make progress, where am I going to have to give some things up? And by the way, that's not just professionally, that's also spiritually, emotionally, your physical life. Progress comes at the cost of sacrifice. It just does. No progress without challenge and sacrifice. Just isn't. Mm. No progress without challenge. Let me give you this. Okay, I got to give you this. I'm watching the clock. Are we still good?
We're good. We're good. If we ended this, my listeners would be like pitchforks because Ken needs to drop the final bomb.
Right. Well, here's just a lovely little story. It's been out on the internet and who knows how old it is. I want people to really grab what I'm saying. So there's a story of an old man. He's walking down an old country road and it's a beautiful day. Birds are chirping, sun is shining, and something catches his eye out of his peripheral and he looks over. And there is a cocoon, and it is wiggling on a leaf, and he gets closer and he looks and he can see what's happening. Metamorphosis is happening. We've all learned about this. And a butterfly is struggling to get out of this cocoon, and all he can see are the little two little butterfly legs poking through the end of the cocoon, and it's struggling. He's watching it, and it's just struggling, and then it stops. And he leans in. He's like, oh, is this thing dead? What's going on? He watches, and then the struggle starts to happen again. The legs are down again. He starts to feel bad for the butterfly. So what does he do? He does what many of us do all the time around our loved ones and friends and our kids. Hello, parents. I'm talking to you. And they want to relieve the struggle. So what does he do? He gently grabs the cocoon and he opens it up. And the butterfly is free. And the butterfly tries to fly, Jasmine, but it can't. It flutters for a half second and then falls to the ground. And if you read this, the biology of butterflies, if they get out of a cocoon too soon, they die within minutes. And this butterfly dies. And the old man feels terrible. And in his desire to help relieve the butterfly from its struggle, he ends up leading to its death. So what we know is that that butterfly is supposed to struggle mightily, because what we can't see inside the cocoon is that the wings are moving as well, and the wings are trying to expand, and the legs are struggling, everything's struggling, and he's struggling mightily. He's got to rest a little bit, and then he gets back to struggle again, and then the thing opens, and the butterfly is able to fly, and it's only because of the struggle does he or she have the strength to be the beautiful butterfly that we all marvel at when we're sitting with loved ones and a butterfly floats by. And so that's the idea here, is that it is the struggle which gives us the strength to be who we are. And what I love about metamorphosis is, I'm a word nerd, is that it really is the Greek word for transformation. And so we want to transform our lives, transform our careers, transform our businesses. We have better get comfortable with the struggle.
Ken, I want to say thank you for guiding us on the transformation and empowering us in knowing that there is strength in the struggle, and that who we're supposed to become is us going through these things at this very moment. I think that you walked us through. I think you gave us action steps. I think you guided us, encouraged us to clarity. And you also gave us the permission not to monetize or feel the pressure to monetize our passion on the outset. Creativity, exploration, having fun, and then listening to your heart and shushing your brain for a minute. Thank you. How can people find more about you online, on social? How can they go deep in the Ken Coleman world?
Yeah, kencoleman.com is the way to go. We've got all of the social media connections there. At Ken Coleman will get you to the social media connections. And we've got a ton of free resources on kencoleman.com that'll help you get clear and actually move forward. And then I'd love for people to engage in the program. It's a daily show, YouTube, SiriusXM, 51 stations now across the nation and growing. And of course, we podcast it as well. So thanks for allowing me to spread the word.
Oh, thank you for being here and spreading the word. Have a good one.
Thank you.
I hope you had your pen and paper handy during this interview to take notes, because I lost count of the amount of times Ken just dropped the mic with his wisdom. I mean, it felt like every other word, I was like, oh, that's a Twitter quote right there, Mr. Coleman. If you enjoyed his practical tips as much as I did, please show us some love in an iTunes review. You know the drill, boo-boo. After you leave a review, you can go to jasminestar.com/IG branding. And as a big thank you for leaving a review, you can download my 3-part Instagram branding mini course designed to help you show up with a plan and show up with a strategy. So if you loved this conversation, it would mean the world to see a review on Apple Podcast. And then once you do that, you can let me know at jasminestar.com/IG branding to get your Instagram branding game on. If you loved Ken Coleman, drop him a little line on Instagram too. We would appreciate it. I promise I read every single review and DM, and I want you to know that the time that you spend with me is an honor and a privilege. Thank you, friend. Have a great day.